Which direction are you headed? What direction am I facing right now? Anybody? I'm directionless, so...
South.
South? Is that right? Maryland? Okay. I'm facing south. I wanted to talk to you very briefly this morning, and I'm excited about it, but about what direction you're going and where you're heading. But I wanted to show you this statue. This statue right here. Does anyone know who this is? Anyone? Baal. Can you say Baal?
Baal.
Baal. This was the god that so many people were following when they should have been following God. And when I looked at this statue, I looked at trophies that I won that I was little that I would place there. Or I looked at maybe girls or basketball. What else was my god, Mom? Food? Oh, that still is kind of. Baal was a god that was a god for many, many, many people. And it was in the time of Elijah. Can you say Elijah? Elijah was a prophet. And a prophet was there to speak God's words to God's people and to the people who weren't God's people, to bring them closer to Him. Elijah was one of our last prophets. And he was going to fight against the prophets who believed in... Who was that guy?
Baal.
Baal. I want you to look at this. This is a picture. It's kind of hard to see. But this is Elijah. This is an altar that they have put a bowl on top of. And all of these people around are other prophets. So what happened is this. What happened is this. Elijah said, I have the only God. And all of those other prophets said, no, Baal is the true God. So Elijah said, I will challenge you. All 450 of you, I will challenge you. And we are each going to put a bowl on the altar and ask for God to send fire from heaven to burn up the bull. This had been at a time of 3.5 years of drought. 3.5 years of drought. The prophets go first. And they place their bull up on that altar. And they call out to Baal to rain fire down from heaven so that we can win this victory and show this Elijah guy that our God is the true God. And did fire come?
No.
No. Oh, and they called out so many times. They called out and they called out and they called out. And even some of those prophets took knives and they cut themselves. That was the ritual. And they would cut themselves over the bull to put more blood on the bull. And they called for more fire and it did not come. And then they said, Elijah, it's your turn. Elijah, it's your turn. And he put a bull up there. And not only did he take a bowl, he took a big basin of water. And we're in a drought, but he had some water. And he poured it on top of the bowl. He drenched the wood. He drenched the bowl, making it harder for fire to come. And he said, God, send your fire. And what happened? Did the fire come?
Yes.
Now, sometimes I kind of wish I lived in biblical times, Mom, and sometimes I didn't. You know how we may make a friendly wager? Not a bet, but a wager. Like, I bet you can't touch the net on our basketball hoop. 1991, my mom comes out. Biff and I are trying to dunk it with a mini ball, Curtis, and my mom says, I can touch the net. And I'm like, in your Birkenstocks? You can't touch the net. And you tried, didn't you? She was this far from the net, guys. It was, Dad, was it even close? She lost that bet. But there really wasn't anything to the end of the bet. This bet right here, whoever lost, your prophets are going to be killed. All of Baal's prophets were murdered. Per God's edict, just like it was supposed to be. But when that news was given, I want you to look at this little beautiful lady. Anyone know who this is? Queen Jezebel. This is the queen of King Ahab who followed Baal. All of those prophets were hers. And King Ahab came back and said, "Queen Jezebel, all of my prophets have been killed." And you know what? She sent back a message to Elijah. And she said, "Just like all of your prophets, all of my prophets died, you will come to the same fate before tomorrow's over." That's what she said. That's what she said. What does this say up here? We've had enough, Lord. We've had enough, Lord. Lex, was there any time during the battle where you were like, "I've had enough"? Adam, you ever had anything in your life where you said, "I've had enough, Lord"? Amen. Elijah had just went through this, and I want you to listen to this. When Ahab told the queen, Jezebel, what Elijah had done and that he had slaughtered the prophets, she sent this message and she said, "You killed my prophets, and now I swear by Baal that I am going to kill you by this time tomorrow night." So Elijah, do you know what he did? Oh, he stood there strong and he took a staff and he put it down and he said, "Woman," you can say woman in biblical times, Dad. Don't try it at home. Curtis, don't try. Don't call Lexi woman. Fridge. "Woman, need a Coke." Wouldn't go well, would it, honey? He would say, "Woman, who do you think I am? Didn't you just see the fire that my God called down? So now, out of 450 prophets, you're going to come and kill me. You're going to kill me. There's no way that's going to happen. I challenge you, Jezebel, to a fight." Do you think that's what happened? No. After Jezebel threatened him, Elijah fled for his life. He went to Beersheba. That was a city of Judah, and he left his servant there. But then he went on alone into the wilderness. He traveled all day, and he laid down under a bush, and he prayed that he might die. "I've had enough," he said to God. "Take away my life. I've got to die sometime, and it might as well be now." Ever felt like that? You know, ever felt like you've been in a fight, and it's been so hard, and you get to where you think the end is, and then another battle comes? You know when they say it rains, it pours? And then instead of going forward in faith, we go back here and say, "I'm not really fleeing from my life, Mom, but I'm not strong enough. I've had enough." Amen? I've had enough. And I'll tell you what, Elijah's lucky I wasn't God. You know what I would have told him, Dad? I just burned that bull up in front of all those prophets. I just proved who I was to all of them. And you're going to let this little pretty Jezebel flee and run under a bush? You want to die? Okay, I'll flip the switch. Ready? Lights off. You think that's what God did? That's not what God did. And that's how awesome our God is. He ran away. Here's what God did for Elijah. He said, "Get," what's the word? Up. And then he said, what?
Eat.
Here's Elijah laying under a bush saying, "I've had enough, God. I just want to die. I know you've done all these amazing things in my life, but I am done." And God said, "No, you're not." And I know many of you, it's like not a cliche term, but it's like my motto for our church. You're done when God says you're done. Amen? Oh, he wasn't done with Elijah yet. Elijah's like laying there giving up. Have you ever been so depressed you're in bed and you don't even care if your wife's cooking you a Jack's frozen pizza with buffalo hot wings and pop? I'm staying in bed. But you're so depressed you just can't get up, and he's laying there and he's told God, "I just want this all to be over. I've had enough, Lord. Just take away my life." And God, right before he said this, the angel of the Lord baked Elijah fresh bread and cool water. Amen? Put it right by his head and made enough for him to eat that it nourished him for 40 days and 40 nights. And then the Bible says that Elijah just turned his life around, Maryland, and he went right that way and he followed God and he never had another stumble. Do you think that's what the Bible said? No? You're right! He ate what God gave him, even when he told God, "I'm giving up." And then he went 40 days and 40 nights, still the other direction from God, into a cave. Amen? My messy place. Listen to the word of God. Then God came again and he touched him and he said, I've given you enough food for 40 days and 40 nights. I want you to get up and I want you to eat some more even though you feel full, because there's a long journey ahead of you. There's a lot of things I want you to do. So Elijah got up and he ate and he drank. And the food did give him enough strength for 40 days and 40 nights. But he went the other direction of God. And he went to live in a cave. Can you say cave? He went to live in a cave. And God provides for us. What is that last two? It says we what? Still? We still run away, don't we? But look at this. What does that say? The Lord didn't give up on him. You mean I gave you 40 days and 40 nights of food to replenish you, to show you who I am, on top of burning that bowl in front of all those other prophets, and you're going to go the other way and live in a cave? God, if I was God, I'd go the other way, right? But Dad, how many times have I done that in my life? You've replenished me financially, food-wise, amen, and Burger King has tacos now, by the way. Spiritually, Mom? And you've replenished me year after year after year, and then sometimes I still walk away, and I know that sometimes I feel like, man, if I was Dad, if I was Mom, I would go the other way. I wouldn't follow me anymore. I wouldn't help me anymore, but I turn around, and Dad's right in my face. Never leaves me. Never forsakes me. Always forgives me. He may call me stupid once in a while. And God chased down Elijah. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing in this cave? What are you doing in this cave? Why have I had to chase you here? And listen to what Elijah says. He says, can you guys say I? I have worked hard, God, for you. I've worked hard for you, the God of the heavens. But, can you say but? But the people of Israel have broken their promises with you. They've torn down your altars. They've killed your prophets. And only I am left. And now they're trying to kill me too. God, that's why I'm here. God, that's why I'm struggling. What are you doing here? FCC, I'm asking you this morning. What are you doing here? I want you to say this with me. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? What are we doing? What are you doing here? And I think of my own life when I've went over to my own cave so many times, and I know God has said, Bobby, what are you doing here? And I always start with I. God, I preach the Word of God for you. I've done Bible studies. I broke my arm in the name of the Lord, Mom. God, why would you choose to give me CML? Why would you give me chronic myeloid leukemia? This is not a woe is me thing, but I am working for you. So you want to know why I'm over here? It's because of the crap that my life is. And why I'm saying that, you guys, is that's what most of us do. We're not different than Elijah. We go into a cave where it's easy to get all caught up in our thoughts. Our negative thoughts, what people post about us, what people say we can't do. And then God says, what are you doing here? And we answer him, I'm here, God. But you don't understand. You don't get it. You don't get it. But Mommy gets it. He chased him to that cave and he said, what are you doing here? And Elijah gives him that excuse that we all do. And he says, come out from that cave and I want you to stand on the edge of it. You guys read the story. It's in 1 Kings. You'll love it. It's better than I can tell it. And there's an earthquake. As he's on the edge of a cave up into Mount Horeb, there's an earthquake. But God isn't speaking in the earthquake. There's lightning and there's more fire. And God isn't speaking in that. But then, as small a whisper as I can say, God says, I'm with you. I'm with you. And sometimes I come out of my cave and I'm looking for some miraculous thing. I'm looking for a gong ringer, Glex. I'm looking for an earthquake in my life to shake it up, to show me what I need to do. I'm looking for a God who will grab my hand and pull me down there, or miraculously heal my arm or my condition, or fill these pews beyond measure because of Him, not because of us. But God's whispering. And when you're stuck in the cave, it's hard to hear the whisper. You can barely hear the echoes that are all around you. But this morning, FCC, I ask you to close your eyes. And I'm asking you to step out in faith, right where you're at sitting, and proverbially come out to the front of the cave. And God has called you there. And He's asking each and every one of you, with eyes closed across here, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Oh, and He's ready for your excuse. Lord, I believe in You, but I don't have enough money. Lord, I believe in You, but I'm too sick. Lord, I believe in You, but this is where I belong. Lord, I believe in You, but no one else believes in me. Lord, I believe in You, but. We're done with the buts. And with all the noise going on around us, there's that slight whisper. You've heard it before. You've heard it before when He introduced you to your spouse. You've heard it before when something miraculous has happened in your life. You've heard it before when you feel God's Spirit inside of you. You've heard it before when you go up to a hospital and get to see your daughter ring a gong. You've heard it before when you see your son smile when he hasn't smiled in so long. You see it. You've seen it. You've heard it. And there it is again. It's a whisper. I am with you. So Heavenly Father, today, no louder than a whisper, speak to us, because some of us are running, even though You've called down fire from heaven for us before. You've given us bread and You've given us water right by our head for more than 40 days and 40 nights, but we continue to go to our cave where we feel comfortable. But today, Lord, we step out and we hear You say, I am with You. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.